Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. How many people do you have in your life that keep on loving you when you're at your worst? From my point of view, this is the truest measure of friendship. It's easy to love someone when they're lovable. But a true friend is someone who loves you after you have betrayed him, who is willing to repair a breach in the relationship. It's a rare friend who can accept you for who you are and who you are not. It's the rare friend who can bear the scars of the pain you have inflicted on him and yet come back for more pain because he loves you. It's the rare friend who lays down his life for you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "We know unconditional love by this, that the Christ, the Messiah, laid down his life for us. And as a result, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Well, if you don't have people in your life who love you when you aren't lovable, you certainly have a God who loves you that way. Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 say this, "For one will hardly die for a righteous man, although perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die." Romans 5, 8, "But God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, as unrighteous, ungodly, unbelievers, Christ died as a sin substitute for us." Our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, specializes in loving the unlovable. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 to 17 say this, "It is a trustworthy statement, deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, ungodly, unrighteous, unbelievers, among whom I, Paul, when I was an unbeliever, was foremost of all." 1 Timothy 1:16. "Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ," and that foremost sinner means the worst unbeliever ever, "Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life." 1 Timothy 1:17. "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to the one and only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Yeah, that's exactly how our God is. See, that's what distinguishes God from everybody else. That's what distinguishes Christianity from everything else, is that God loves the unlovable. See, it's, you know, when somebody has an adultery in their relationship, "He cheated on me, she cheated on me," and then you discard them and you get somebody new, right? And then the new person does the same thing. And so then you discard them and get somebody new. And then after you discard about 60 or 70 people, you finally figure it out that every time you get in a relationship with somebody, you're getting in a relationship with a human being. And what also happens is you show up in every one of those relationships. And, you know, we don't want to be like the natural man who looks at his face in a mirror and then when he walks away forgets what kind of person he was. And that's what we do. When we're pointing fingers out at everybody else, three fingers are pointing back at us, and we miss the fact that we're just as despicable as everything we despise. And that matters not at all to God. It matters not at all to God that we are despicable. It matters not at all to God that we are imperfect. It matters not at all to God that we make mistakes. It matters not at all to God that we sin, because he loves the unlovable. Welcome to a place where you can be yourself and be loved anyway. Yay! That's right, Rick. Yay. Hey, can I get an amen? That makes me want to get up and sing and wave my hands around like June likes doing. Amen. That's June. God, you have no idea what it's like to be a pastor and have June as the song worship leader. I have to go through these dances and these noises and burping and all this stuff. Just, oh my God, please help me. Please help me. God, help me now. She's got her list too, though, see? You have no idea what it's like to be a song worship leader with a pastor like you. Well, I know that's true. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's specialty is loving the unlovable. The Lord's specialty is loving the unlovable. The Jewish race, most of whom turned on their Messiah, can certainly be thought of as unlovable. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who was led to the slaughter by his own people, would certainly have caused to look upon the Jewish race with disdain. Yet the Lord loves them with an indescribable love and will fulfill every promise that he made to the Jewish race. And in today's lesson, as we move to the second passage of Romans chapter 9, we'll begin to see what a sovereign God has planned for the Jewish race and what he has planned for each one of us, his believers. So the opening song couldn't be better. As we turn for a few moments from the cares of this life to rest in his word, let's listen to the perfect song for those who are unlovable. Who Am I by Casting Crowns.
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Well, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. That calm the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Me who I am.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, we know that we are your prized possession. All of us as creatures are your prized possession, especially believers in Christ. And thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you for sending your Son to break down the barrier of the dividing wall that we erected by sinning. And thank you for your grace, which allows us to learn from that mistake. Thank you for forgiving us in the past with the result that we stand forgiven forever and we never have to ask for forgiveness again. Help us to know that your forgiveness is a guarantee. Make us stop thinking of you as a God who is disappointed in us. Show us how to stop being disappointed in ourselves for not being perfect. Help us enjoy your unconditional love for us by means of your Holy Spirit. Turn us into people that you have always, the people that you have always intended for us to be, people who are a perfect reflection of you. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. A few announcements. The first one, next deacons meeting is November 5th, 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration is November 13th, 2016. Is it really already November? Almost. My goodness, this year flew. All of them fly when you start to get older, I think. Mark your calendars. No face-to-face teaching on four dates, November 20th, December 4th, December 25th, and January 1st. That November 20th, we will post the conference from the East Coast, the New York, Pennsylvania conference lesson, and we'll want to record that on the Thursday before, the Thursday night before, so you deacons get that in your calendar. Prayers, please join me in prayer directed at the intercessions and petitions of the people visiting the Barah Ministries prayer request group. Prayers especially for our friend Cliff Spear, who is having health problems. Let's pray that our Lord make those health problems clear and that he makes those go away. And I'll tell you, Cliff, that you know what this is all about, because for us believers in Christ, God is always putting us through the trials of life, and health is one of those trials. And he's just putting us through those trials so he can show off at deliverance. So just stand back and watch the deliverance of the Lord, which he'll accomplish for you. And my best to you and Rita as you go through this. Happy birthday to my daughter, Alyssa Lopez, October 25th. She's not a teenager anymore. At least chronologically. Amen? Amen? Louder amen? Amen? Yeah, holy smoke. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's specialty is loving the unlovable. How appropriate right after Alyssa's birthday announcement. That is just, I don't even know what to say about how wonderful that is. All right, so as a reminder, let's take a final listen to the first passage in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. It says this, I, Paul, am telling you the truth. I am in union with Christ on this. I am not lying to you. My conscience testifies along with me that I am filled, and I am filled with God the Holy Spirit and his enabling power in this matter. So I have a lot of witnesses that can testify with me. And I tell you that I keep on having great sorrow and an incessant and haunting grief in my heart. In other words, I'm heartbroken. Thanks, Deb. We finally got that and that extra and out of the slides. It's been there in about 16 weeks and has been driving me crazy, and I couldn't even see it when I was doing the edits. Romans 9:3, for if I, Paul, could, I would wish that I myself were accursed, made an anathema by God, sent to the lake of fire as a substitute, and separated from my union with Christ the Messiah, for the sake of my brethren, the Jews who are unbelievers, who are my kinsmen, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Romans 9:4, my kinsmen who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, a host of wonderful gifts, the adoption as sons and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the Mosaic law, the oracles of God and the temple service and the promises. Romans 9:5, my kinsmen, my countrymen, who are of the lineage of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and my kinsmen, my countrymen, from whose lineage comes the Christ, the Messiah, the one who became flesh and tabernacled among us, the one who is the sovereign over all, fully God, deity, the blessed one who exists forever. Amen. Now the second passage of Romans chapter 6 and the subject of our study. As we move on into this passage, remember that last week we found out that the backdrop of this passage is God's sovereignty. We have a sovereign God who is able to do all that he wills and who wills to do all that he is able to do. So the second passage, as we move into this, we remember God is able. Romans chapter 9, verse 6, but it's not as though the word of God has failed because the Jews have rejected Jesus Christ and his word. For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Romans chapter 9, verse 7. Nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac your descendants will be named. Romans chapter 9, verse 8. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as descendants. Romans 9, 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come. At this time next year I will come, and Sarah will have a son. That's what the Lord said to Abram. Romans 9, 10. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. Romans 9:11, for though the twins were not even born and hadn't done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose, according to his choice, his sovereign choice, would stand. Not because of works, but because of him who calls, and he is in charge of the calling. Romans 9:12, it was said to Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. Romans 9:13, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. The insight I take from the first passage of Romans chapter 9 is that during those times when we are being unlovable, during those times we are being heartbreakers. It is heartbreaking to those who love us. It is heartbreaking for us to see people we love acting like knuckleheads. You know, one of the things for me as a teacher is it is absolutely heartbreaking to see how casual and how cavalier people are when they're in a learning environment. It used to be about 10 or 15 years ago, you go into a learning environment, people are taking notes, they're hanging on every word, and they're coming up to you on the break and say, hey, man, the breaks are for me. Would you get away from me? You know? Because, I'm just trying to regroup. I'm trying to think about where I'm going next. Oh, yeah, but I have a question. What about this? And what about that? What about this? And today, everybody's just sitting there staring at you, not taking notes. People remember only 10% of what they hear only, except if it's supernatural like this. Right? So they're not taking notes. They're just sitting there passively waiting for the entertainment to start, waiting for the moment when they can laugh. And it's sad. And it breaks my heart as a teacher. And it breaks my heart as a teacher because I chose at a point in my own life to be a lifelong learner. And when you become a lifelong learner, it doesn't matter who the teacher is. It doesn't matter how the teacher delivers the message. It just matters that you want the message, that you just want to learn. And there are so many people who are sitting right in front of a phenomenal gift and they just don't want to have it. And as a teacher, it breaks your heart. And so that's exactly what Paul is communicating here, that he sees all the things that he could, that his kinsmen, according to the flesh, could have, and they don't want anything to do with it. They're just looking off in another direction. And look, Paul and I are not talking out of school. It's not like we haven't had that stuff going on in our own lives. We're not special. You know, I've had my moments where God was telling me clearly, please go this way, and I go, yeah, that's really cool. I'm going this way. So it's not like I'm talking out of school. So don't get mad. Don't get guilty. Don't, you know, pull out the rubber hose and start beating yourself, because we all go through this. But do we learn from it? And do we learn how heartbreaking that process is to the people who love us? And it is heartbreaking, and they have no choice but to let you go through it. It's your journey. But, you know, we're hoping for other people. We don't want to see them go through that crap. We don't want to see them take the hard way. Because, let's face it, the learned way is hard, too. It's just you don't get as many knots on your head by going the learned way. But the learned way is hard, too. God has planned tribulation for us. So that's going to happen. It's not like it's not going to. We always want to help the tribulation by complicating it more, and that is not what God wants for us, not at all. So as Paul expressed his heartbreak over the unbelieving Jews who rejected their Messiah, Paul still knows, and we know, that no matter how lovable we think we are, or no matter how unlovable we think we are, God loves us anyway with an unconditional love that is absolutely indescribable. And this would have been a good place to just drop in the song Indescribable, right? Because that's another great song that tells us exactly how God feels about us. So those are the insights from Romans chapter 9, 1-5. Why do you have to be a heartbreaker? The insight from the initial study of the second passage, Romans chapter 9, verses 6 to 13, reminds me of a thing we used to say when we were studying the Creator clock several years ago as we were getting to know God. God is the source, and we are the recipients. Let me repeat that. God is the source, and we are the recipients, as it says in James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good thing given, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from God the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. You know, the focus of that verse is typically the second part, to communicate that God is immutable. There is no variation in God, nor any shifting shadow. God does not change his mind. But the first part of that verse is pretty powerful, too, and it says God is the source. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from God the Father of lights. And every good thing given includes tribulation. You see, when we assess tribulation, we say, well, that's bad. And when we assess prosperity, we say, well, that's good. But God says prosperity is good and tribulation is good, and he wants us to learn how to be content regardless of the circumstance. So everything in our lives is sent to us by God. Everything in our lives is allowed by God. Everything in our lives is given by God for the purpose of revealing himself as the source. And God loves his recipients unconditionally. And so he is just giving the gifts unconditionally, and we are to simply receive. And that's what we wish we had in our human friends. We wish we had friends who were unconditional. And there are some who have learned to reflect that from God, but most are conditional. I'll do this for you, you do this for me. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That's conditional. That requires something. The things that God gives us, those great gifts that come down from above, requires nothing on our part. We are the recipients of his love, and we don't deserve it. And there is no merit in us, therefore nothing that is lovable in us. And no works we could ever do will make us lovable, yet God loves us unconditionally. So you must conclude from that, that God specializes in loving the unlovable. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7 say this, but, it starts off with but. So the first three verses of Ephesians 2 talk about what the depth is of spiritual death. You know, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were dead in our union with Adam. And we were set to go to die the second death in the lake of fire. And so those first three verses elaborate on that theme, what it was like when we got here at physical birth. And then verse 4 of chapter 2 has that beautiful swing word, but. It's the same swing word that happens in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. But. Now the righteousness from God. Yeah, all these things are true for you in Romans chapter 3, verses 1 to 19. You're horrible, despicable. You don't seek a relationship with God. You have a mouth on you. That's what God says. You have a mouth on you. Your tongue is vile, and it says nasty stuff. And he says it much more eloquently than I do. But now, the righteousness from God, Ephesians 2, 4, the same but. Yeah, you were set for the second death, but God the Father, I love this next part. It gives me goosebumps. Being rich in mercy. Because of his great and unconditional love with which he loved us, Jews and Gentiles. Ephesians 2, 5, even when we were spiritually dead in our transgressions, even when we were on the wrong side of a barrier, even when we were helpless and hopeless, unable to get across the barrier on our own, even when we were sinners, ungodly, unrighteous, unbelievable, he made us alive together with Christ. He made us alive. He made us spiritually alive. Together with Christ, by grace, you have been saved. Ephesians 2, 6. And he raised us up in resurrection from the dead with Christ. And then he seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. In union with Christ Jesus. Everything comes from the source, who placed us in union with Christ Jesus and who gives us everything that Jesus has, including spiritual life, resurrection life, session. We are seated with him in the heavenly places waiting to see exactly what that means. Ephesians 2, 7. Why did he do it? So that in the ages to come, God the Father might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us who are in union with Christ Jesus. God the Father has made Christ's believers citizens of heaven. He's transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son and his marvelous light, and has raised us from among the dead ones. And he was willing and able to do this even at the time when we were spiritually dead on the wrong side of a barrier, helpless and hopeless, and without a relationship with God, and not even seeking one, quite frankly. So let's go into the detail of the verses of the second passage of Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. Here's what that verse says. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For in God's eyes, they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. In other words, all racial Jews are not spiritual Jews. Because the spiritual Jews are the ones who believe in Christ. Now, God has made several promises to the Jews. The promises he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, promising blessing to their seed, announcing himself as the God of Israel, promising them Palestine by an oath. And let me tell you what that means. When I was touring Israel, I was in Jerusalem, and I was on a tour to go to Bethlehem. Well, Bethlehem is in Palestine, and Jews are not allowed in Palestine. If they go to Palestine, they will be killed. And so the tour guide drove me up to the border of Palestine and turned me over to a Palestinian tour guide who took me past 60 kids with AK-47s guarding the border and took me down into the duty hole that is Bethlehem. Bethlehem is no place. It's a nothing place. And the thing that I remember most about Bethlehem is that the town was down here, and you look up into the mountains and you see nothing but beauty. But the town was just, ugh. And that's where our Savior was born. No place. In a no place place. In Nazareth. What good thing comes out of Nazareth, one of the apostles said. But Palestine, this place where the Jews cannot go today, has been promised to the Jews by an oath by the Lord Jesus Christ, promising David a line of perpetual royalty on earth, prophesying a great and glorious future for Israel. all in spite of knowing, in omniscience, knowing all the knowable, that they, that the Jews would reject him and lead him to physical death. Would you be so gracious to unlovable ones? Would you be so gracious to the people who you knew were leading you to death? Would you be so gracious to those who have killed one of your offspring? I think not. Well, let's take a music break, and when we come back, we'll see how God feels about the unlovable. Because of the way God loves you, you can be happy. And that's our music break song, Happy.
Clap along if you feel like
There we go. How's that? Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's specialty is loving the unlovable. The Lord's specialty is loving the unlovable. Romans chapter 9, verse 6 says this, "But it is not as though the word of God has failed because the Jews rejected Jesus. For in God's eyes, they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel." In other words, all racial Jews are not spiritual Jews. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 10 to 22 do a great job of capturing the feeling that the Lord has for the unlovable, especially the rebellious Jewish race. Isaiah 66, 10, "Be joyful with Jerusalem and rejoice for her, for especially all you who love her. Be exceedingly glad with her, all you who mourn over her." Isaiah 66, 11, "That you may nurse and be satisfied with her comforting breasts, that you may suck and be delighted with her bountiful bosom." Right now there is no peace in the Middle East, only strife. Yet there will be a day when the execution of all of God's promises to Israel and to the Jews is as real as his words penned in Scripture. For all that God wills to do, he is able to do, and all that God's promises will come true. And he will continue to treat Israel and the Jews as a mother treats a rebellious child, with grace and an unconditional love and a forgiveness that boggles the mind. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12, "For thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her," that is Jerusalem, "like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you will be nursed, and you will be carried on the hip, and you will be fondled on the knees." What beautiful imagery to know that that's exactly what mothers do for their babies, even when their babies are rebellious. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13, "God will be a mother to Israel and the Jews. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, Jerusalem, and you will all be comforted in Jerusalem." Isaiah 66, 14, "Then you will see this, and your heart will be glad, and your bones will flourish like the new grass. And the hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but he will be indignant toward his enemies." Somebody asked me recently if I thought that Hillary was pro-Israel. And I think that, you know, it was a question, but it wasn't a question. It was more of a statement. And I think it was kind of an anti-Semitic statement. And I said, boy, I sure hope so. Boy, I sure hope Hillary is solid in our relationship with Israel, because anti-Semitism is frowned on by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is very willing to direct his wrath to anyone who is against the Jews. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15, "For behold, the Lord will come in fire, and his chariots like the whirlwind, like a tornado, like a hurricane, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire." We will be there to see it when he does that in the tribulation period. At the end of the tribulation period, the seven-year period that follows the current church age, after the exit resurrection of the church age believers, the Lord Jesus Christ will inflict his wrath on all who attempt to harm Israel and the Jews. They will be trapped in an area, and they are about to be destroyed, and the Lord will come down with his fire and his chariots and his whirlwind and his church age believers, and with fury, rebuke, with flames of fire, rebuke, with a blood-dipped robe and a something sword. I've got the name written on my thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I am. June sings about that in her song, I Am. It gets me excited when I hear about what we're going to see in the future. And we, the church age believers, the bride of Christ, will watch as he slaughters the many who are trying to kill off the Jews. And we will reign with the Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth for 1,000 years during his millennial reign after that tribulation period, the worst period in divine history. Isaiah 66, 16, "For the Lord will execute judgment by fire and by his sword on all flesh, and those slain by the Lord will be many. Isaiah 66:17, those who sanctify and purify themselves to go to the gardens, following one in the center, who eat swine's flesh, detestable things, and mice will come to an end altogether, says the Lord. Isaiah 66:18, for I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming to gather all nations and all tongues, and they shall come, and they shall see my glory. Isaiah 66:19, I will set a sign among them and will send survivors from them to the nations, Tarshish, Put, Lud, Meshech, Tubal, and Javan, to the distant coastlands that have neither heard of my fame nor seen my glory, and they will declare my glory among the nations. So the Lord always leaves someone around to act as a witness to the things that he has done, and he sends them out so that they can proclaim the goodness of the Lord, who saved them even though they deserve no saving. And it's the same with us. All nations will be blessed through Israel. Jewish evangelists will be sent in the future to coastlands to proclaim the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah. And this will not happen because of any merit in the Jews, but because the Lord's sovereign decision on their behalf is that they go forth. Isaiah 66:20, then they shall bring all your brethren from all the nations as a grain offering to the Lord, on horses and chariots, in litters, on mules and on camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, just as the sons of Israel bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord right now. Isaiah 66:21, I will also take some of them for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. Isaiah 66:22, for just as the new heavens and the new earth which I made will endure before me, declares the Lord, so your offspring and your name will endure. God takes us unlovable people and loves us unconditionally. And it is this unconditional love, the love of the source, that makes us special. And what makes us special is that we're simply targets. We are recipients of the Lord's amazing grace, fantastic love. We are special because the source loves us conditionally. We are called because the source called us. We are saved because of God the Father of lights, who sent his Son to die on our behalf. We are loved because God is love, not because of anything we've done. And we all we have to do is enjoy the receiving of this love. It's just like you guys. You don't have to work for any of this great biblical knowledge. That you just show up and you just open your hearts, and God the Holy Spirit keeps on pouring his enabling power into you in the form of the Word of God. Well, God wants you. And so what he wants most from you is that you make the most important decision of your life. Acts 16:30, the jailer asked, sirs, talking to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas say in Acts 16:30, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Romans 10:10, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth a person confesses, resulting in salvation. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of. He is not slack, as some count slackness. But instead, he is patient towards you unbelievers, not wishing for any of you to perish in the lake of fire, but for all of you to come to repentance, to a change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The closing song, you don't have to go to God to be saved because he's chasing you. June's song, you ran after me. Thank you.
thought to seek you out. Was lost in the dark, there is no doubt. Jesus, light of the world, eternal truth, Savior, you pursued, then let me choose. Salvation's door. Jesus, you are everything I need. I'm yours. I will follow where you lead. You ran after me. You ran after me. Sought me for.
Thank you, June. Excellent song. Love it. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for making us your possession. Thank you for loving us when we are unlovable. Thank you for giving us the confidence through your word that the words you say are true, so that when we go out into the world during the week and forget, we can come back and be reminded of just how much you care and just how much you're orchestrating our lives. And we just pray that you help us to continue to keep your goodness as the source in front of us, and to continue to ask as recipients for all the things we need, knowing that they'll come directly from you. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.